This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. For years, Kentucky legislators have been talking about enacting a statewide smoking ban. In the meantime, some cities and counties have passed their own laws. A statewide ban was before the General Assembly again this year, but it does not look like either of the proposed bills will make it to the governor. Joining me to talk about a smoking ban in Kentucky are Northern Kentucky Health Department District Director Dr. Lynn Sadler and Betsy Janes with Smoke Free Kentucky. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can join the conversation by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Well, it sounds as if this is not going anywhere in the legislature right now. How long has it been that there's been work trying to get a statewide ban, a smoking ban in Kentucky?
This is the fourth legislative session, but, you know, Lexington has been smoke-free for 10 years. So the discussion about a statewide bill has existed for quite a long time, but this is the fourth year for filing a smoke-free bill.
And every year, the support for it and the evidence of the benefits of having a smoke-free law continue to grow.
So there certainly are a lot of folks that are on very strongly cemented in their opinions on both sides of this topic. Both of you in favor of that ban, I assume. That's correct, yes. And the arguments, though, come that shouldn't it be up to the people that run the businesses on whether or not they should allow people to smoke in them? And what do you say to those arguments?
Well, some of the things that we say when we talk about that, and we do hear that some business owners have concerns about more government regulation, but we regulate other kinds of things that benefit the overall public's health. For example, with restaurants and food preparation, we have regulations around that so that people don't become ill from eating out when they go out to eat at restaurants or at festivals and those sorts of things. So there's a precedent for where public health does supersede the rights of business owners.
There are more than a couple dozen states that do ban smoking overall. In Ohio's one of them. New York's one of them. How have things gone there since that legislation has gone in? What do you know about those states that have passed that legislation?
Remarkably well. You know, many of your listeners are experiencing that Ohio didn't fall off the face of the earth when it went smoke-free. It's good for business. People tend to eat out more. They bring their families. It has no negative economic impact. And this has been researched all over the country. And in fact, many countries have gone smoke-free, and it's proven effective there, too. So not only is it good for business, it's life-saving. Heart attack emergency room visits go down. Asthma attack emergency room visits go down in smoke-free communities. So it's been a remarkable success, and, you know, it was trending forward for a long time. And it wasn't until recently that we've sort of stalled, and this property rights argument has taken a hold again.
Some would say, for example, though, a business like a cigar bar would have to close if there were a smoking ban. Do you think that there's a lot that would happen in terms of businesses that would just be forced out of business?
I think there's a couple ways to look at it. The law could be written in a way that people could still buy cigars and smoke them outside. You could, you know, certain legislators have looked at certain ways to accommodate those businesses. But the bottom line is, you know, there are tobacco retail stores all over the state and some of the smoke-free communities that still sell their product. They just have to be used in a place where they won't harm others.
Dr. Sadler? Given.
You know, I think in those types of situations, as Betsy was saying, that there are still options. And I know oftentimes it gets called a ban, and it's really just regulating where someone can use the product so that they're not exposing other people. And going back to some of the other benefits from other states, they have seen a decline in the smoking rates in these states where they have passed smoke-free regulations, which is tremendous when you look at the statistics. In Kentucky, we are the smokingest state in the nation, and that translates into really poor health status. And so that's a tremendous benefit in addition to eliminating the exposure to secondhand smoke for the rest of us.
Why do you think it's been so difficult to get this through the Kentucky legislature?
I don't think it's any secret that we have a culture that supports tobacco. And as Dr. Saylor said, that leads us to be number one in smoking in the nation. There are very many fewer farms nowadays that farm tobacco. We know that this wouldn't hurt tobacco farmers, but it is just a cultural obstacle, and one that holds true in Frankfurt. You know, there's a lot of loyalty to tobacco still, even though 65% of the public supports a smoke-free law, and we know that in the end, the public will win the day. It is a difficult discussion, I think, in a state like Kentucky. So it's not controversial in the way that it's not, you know, even support on both sides, but it is so in the fact that it's sort of ingrained in our culture.
We're talking about a proposed smoking ban in Kentucky. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Now, Kenton County has a smoking ban. It's been on for a little while, and the surrounding counties do not. What's the impact been there?
Well, in Kenton County, they passed a smoke-free ordinance with exemptions that went into effect April of 2011. And the health department enforces that particular ordinance. And since that time when it started, we have had 65 complaints that we've investigated and addressed in some form or fashion.
So this is people complaining because there has been smoking in a place there should not be.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or where they perceived it should not have been. And because of the exemptions, there are some places that were allowed to have smoking. And so that does create some difficulty in terms of folks knowing where you can and cannot smoke. Where you have a comprehensive law, of course, it would address those issues. But it has gone relatively well in terms of enforcement. People, for the most part, follow the rules, and their life goes on, and things are okay. But what we see in Northern Kentucky in general is when you have one county that has a partial ordinance and you have the other counties that don't, it does create some confusion. And when you're right next to Ohio and Indiana who have laws in place, it just creates tremendous inconsistency and confusion where a comprehensive law in Kentucky would help address that and really level the playing field for all businesses and all places of work.
And it does, you know, as she mentions, those sorts of exemptions create disparities. And so growing up in Northern Kentucky, I have a ton of family there. And when that law passed, some people of my family still worked in smoking environments, and other family members were then protected by the law in smoke-free environments. And, you know, I love them equally. So it's really unfair to say that some people's lungs are worth protecting and others are not.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Jeff's calling from Finneytown. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your comment?
Well, while I don't dispute a lot of what you're saying about smoking bans, I work for a food wholesaling company, and I sell directly to restaurants that sell food. And when the Ohio ban went into effect a number of years ago, I saw a lot of businesses affected by it. A few businesses never recovered, never got back to their pre-smoking ban levels of business. And while there are studies that probably do show that businesses are hurt by bans, I think they must be skewed in some ways, because I saw it happening firsthand with a number of places.
You're saying that people they just didn't come at all if they couldn't smoke there anymore?
Well, there was a lot of regular clientele that restaurants lost, a lot. And that regular foot traffic on Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, not so much a busier weekend, but really through the week, is what the smaller independent places rely on. I know of one place in Westchester who spent gobs of money on a state-of-the-art ventilation system as a cigar bar, and I know you mentioned cigar bar earlier, and I mean, his business has completely suffered because of the ban. And, you know, he's also selling to a very niche crowd, but is a place that's listed as a cigar bar, you know exactly what it is before you go in. So I would think that there needs to be a better study of how it really affects business.
Has there been any talk in Kentucky with a ban to have exceptions for places like a cigar bar, which is a business designed for smoking?
Yeah, this session actually was the first time that any of those sorts of exemptions were taken seriously. So, yeah, there have been some amendments made to the bill. But again, you know, the bill is sort of stalled right now, so we don't know how that will shake out in the end. I just think you have to be really careful and think really critically, which I trust our bill sponsor would do, to see what is worth accommodating and if the numbers really do pan out. So we're sort of talking anecdotally right now, but you know, the example that you mentioned is your personal experience. We've also heard of the opposite experience. You know, if you think of 70% of the people don't smoke, then you're opening your doors to more people. And again, it's not just one or two studies. It's a body of evidence that show on the whole, you know, the economic benefit of smoke-free policy.
Jeff, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
We go now to Jimmy in Norwood. Hi, Jimmy. What's your question?
Well, first off, I'd like to agree with the guy who just called. I have two comments, and the first he already addressed. There was a cigar bar downtown that I won't name, but it was very popular. It was named after a city in Cuba, and they had a thriving cigar business. Cigars are not the same as cigarettes. Personally, I smoke two cigars a year. It's like a birthday cake, you know? And the state, in effect, put that place out of business because they lost over half of their business. People couldn't go outside to smoke because there wasn't a proper patio. And I didn't think it was the state's business to go around and put small business owners out of work. And my second comment is just sort of a simple libertarian philosophical thing, which is, as long as the substance isn't a Schedule I drug like cocaine, shouldn't the owner of the property or the venue make their own decisions about who and what they serve and let the free market decide the way our founding fathers had designed the Constitution and this country? And thank you for letting me make my comment, and I'll hang up and listen to your response off the air.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Dr. Sadler?
Well, let me address the first part first. On the other side of the issue, anecdotally, there are stories that business owners have shared with me about how they looked when they went to smoke-free because of laws that had been passed in other parts of Kentucky. One of the things that they did was look at their marketing strategies and realizing, as Betsy said, that there are 70%, almost 70% of the people out there who want smoke-free environments. Some of these businesses that actually changed how they marketed and found a much bigger niche. And so there may be some places, like you mentioned, the cigar bars, who are in a different situation. But the vast majority of businesses seem to figure out how to create that market. And I think there's also some anecdotal data about some of those folks who smoke may leave for a while and then come back after a while, because it is a change, and you're asking people to make a behavior change, and people can do that, and they do that.
Betsy, did you want to add anything?
I couldn't agree more, and that's exactly it. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons that small businesses go out of business, and so again, I think it comes down to an anecdotal story here and there versus the overwhelming body of evidence, and it is up to the business owner to, you know, keep up with the times and be innovative. And no disrespect to any of the ones mentioned, because I'm not familiar with them. But, you know, I just think, you know, if we want to talk about the free market and being innovative and drumming up business, you know, smoke-free environments are the way of the future. And so, you know, voluntary or by law, businesses, I think, need to, you know, if they want to grow and prosper, they need to come to the future and in some places, the present, and be smoke-free.
We did get a tweet from Melissa who says the smoking culture in the U.S. is on the decline. So she agrees with what you said. If you have a question or a comment, 513-419-7100. Josh is calling from Westchester. Hi, Josh. What's your comment?
I have quite the opposite experience as the previous two callers. I'm a local DJ. I've been DJing in the city, whether it's in bars or clubs or private establishments, for about 13 or 14 years. And the smoking ban, to me, has been one of the best things to happen. You know, it keeps the environment cleaner. You know, and it's funny that the woman just mentioned that people do eventually come back. They might get upset for a minute, but that's exactly what happens. All the bars in Ohio and the clubs that I work at, they're still they're still thriving. People are still coming. You know, some angry people might have left for a little bit, but they still find their way back, and they can find the patios. I mean, if it happens in Kentucky, it'll make me even happier because I work in Northern Kentucky as well. You know, they may see a small decline for a minute, but like I said, I mean, my experience has been just completely opposite. The places still have business. They still do business, and people do continue to come back. So
Do you find in Ohio that people complain about it to you at all? Gosh, I wish I could smoke in here now, or...
No, absolutely not. When the ban first took effect, yeah, we heard it and there were some people griping, but as time went on, it's a non-issue anymore. People find the patios and they're fine with it.
Thanks so much for your call, Josh. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Comments?
People like Josh are the reason that we do what we do. We're out to protect workers like him.
We want to talk a little bit about where this might go. And as you both mentioned, the bills are sort of stuck. One bill has been sort of declared dead by its sponsor in the House. The Senate bill, we were hoping that Senator Julie Denton of Louisville was going to be able to join us on the phone today, but we have not heard from her yet. She may still call in the last few minutes. But her bill is still sort of hanging on, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen this time around. How long do you think it will take, or will it never happen in Kentucky, that a smoking ban will be passed?
I think when the public shows up behind that 65% number, so we know the polling shows that the support is there, but when the demand and the outrage is clear to legislators, and when we as the public unite and come forward and demand this legislation and become louder than those few opponents in each community or than our big tobacco opponents or the other special interests involved here, when that outweighs the special interests at work, I think that's when you're going to see the tipping point reached. And it may not be too late. Let's see what the public can drum up in the last couple weeks of session.
And I agree. I think the other segment is more and more the body of evidence for businesses is showing that you have tremendous amounts of lost productivity and additional health care costs associated with smokers who are your workers and in your workforce. And so in terms of economic development and in terms of what it's costing you to own and run a business where they're smoking, the evidence is mounting, and businesses are starting to see that having smoke-free legislation can make a big difference for their pocketbook as well as the workplace.
Susan's calling from Fairfield. Hi, Susan. What's your question?
I was noticing several comments in regards to cigar bars, and my question is, couldn't cigar bars become a club and charge fees to join the club and forego the law of the non-smoking ordinance?
Do you know that? I mean, could that kind of an exemption be written into the bill?
Yeah, I mean, I think any sort of exemption could be created and come up with. And again, I think you just have to balance the interest of the worker health with the interest of, you know, which players are involved, who's drafting the bill. So there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you could change the bill wherever the will existed.
But that's, you know, in the bill right now.
No. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that was one of the amendments, a private club amendment. There was a cigar bar amendment, a private club amendment, you know, proposed. But it just, you know, from our standpoint as health advocates, we want to protect as many workers as possible.
All right, Susan, thank you so much for your call, and we appreciate it. Thank you both for being here today. It's been a very interesting discussion. We'll see what happens with the Kentucky legislature. We've been talking about a possible smoking ban in Kentucky. My guests today were Northern Kentucky Health Department District Director Dr. Lynn Sadler and Betsy Janes with Smoke Free Kentucky. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.